Welcome back to the Bun Sports Show. It's Monday after the SEC Championship and all the other conference championship games over the weekend. We're set to go for another week as college football season has finally come to an end as far as the regular season. It's now on to the bowls and who goes where. We'll talk about it in detail as we continue this week with more. But the college football professor is with us today, and we're going to talk about some of the outcomes Saturday as well as some of the upcoming bowl games that might be of interest as we look forward in the final stages now of the 2012-2013 season. Professor, hope you had a good weekend.
I did. It was a good weekend. Everything went very well.
Well, I guess there's no better place to start than what was basically a playoff game for the national championship game, and that is Alabama and Georgia, number 2 versus number 3 in the Georgia Dome for the SEC championship. Alabama was the last team standing, 32-28, in what was an incredible football game that everybody from coast to coast that I have communicated with has said that they were watching, and it was just an incredible football game. I'm interested to see your perspective. You were in the Georgia Dome for the game and, of course, saw everything firsthand. So what were your thoughts?
Well, one of the thoughts that comes to my mind immediately is the distance between all the other championship games and the SEC championship game. Now, that's not to say in other years there won't be some real great Big Ten or Pac-12 championship games, but at this point there's quite a distance between what went on in the Georgia Dome and what you might have seen in Indianapolis or any of the other places.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think the SEC has once again asserted itself as the top conference, and I think the championship game did more to further that effort. As far as the two teams, Alabama and Georgia, what were your impressions of both of those? I think they're both capable of being in a Final Four playoff game, and that's basically what we had Saturday. So talk about the two teams.
I think that both of these teams acquitted themselves very well. There was, if there were anything in the game that surprised me a little bit, I thought Georgia might have run the ball a little bit better than I thought they would. But Alabama ran the ball better than I thought they would, even though I had thought before the game that Alabama was going to run the ball. I thought that would be the key to them winning the game, and I thought they would run the ball, and they did it, but not in the kind of dominating fashion that I saw on Saturday there in Atlanta. As a matter of fact, I'm not so sure I've ever seen a more dominating running attack than I saw in that game, in particular when two real good teams are playing each other. That was quite a spectacle to see. It was some tremendous running by Lacy and by Yeldon both.
And also...
Really something.
Yeah, and also by the Georgia running back, Todd Gurley, too. And I think one thing that struck me, you look at the key players on offense and skill positions in the game. You had T.J. Yeldon for Alabama, Todd Gurley for Georgia, and Amari Cooper for Alabama. All made significant plays, probably the keys for both teams for being in the game. And they're all three freshmen. And that just shows you how this league has a tendency to find talent at a very young age.
That's right. And they were all really, really outstanding. But the entire game, the both teams, and even though you might say the defense didn't play that well, but I thought the defense did play well. I just thought it was just a game where
it was.
There were some big-time players playing football. This was big-time football.
It really was. And, you know, it's interesting, Professor, and we'll move on in just a second, but the national, some of the fans from other parts of the country, fans, writers, whomever, that hate on the SEC or have a tendency to do so, were talking at first about the lack of scoring, and then as the score progressed in the second half, talking about the lack of defense, and I just found it comical. When you run the ball, and Alabama ran it for nearly 400 yards, that I don't think that's lack of defense. I think that's asserting your will.
That's right. And if you might remember, Jacob, last week when we discussed the game, this was before the game, when we were discussing what might happen. if you might remember that at that time, I said that I thought there'd be a little bit more scoring in this game than people thought, and I think that it did happen. And yet, it wasn't one of those games where they're just zipping up and down the field with these, long touchdown passes and long runs and all. There were plenty of long runs, plenty of long passes, but it was all done within the scope of a competitive game taking place.
And because of that game, Notre Dame will face Alabama on January 7th for the Discover BCS Championship game. And it's obvious that it's a BCS Championship game, but I think it has a little bit more zing with the fact that the Fighting Irish are playing the Crimson Tide for the national championship. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. And Georgia falls to the Capital One Bowl. They will play Nebraska there, and Nebraska is a team that needs something positive after the drumming they had at the hands of Wisconsin Saturday night. Other scores from Saturday, Texas was not able to beat Kansas State. Kansas State got the win 42-24. A nice job by Colin Klein, Bill Snyder to end the season on a positive note. It's a disappointment nonetheless. Oklahoma beat TCU 24-17. And as I mentioned, Wisconsin 70-31 over Nebraska. What did you make of that?
It's almost laughable. I don't know what to make of it. I never would have dreamed anything like it would have happened. I thought, as a matter of fact, I thought Nebraska would win the game, and for it to happen the way it did, it's just incredible.
Florida State 21-15 in the ACC championship game, a rather lackluster showing for the Seminoles, as Georgia Tech not very good, as we've seen in previous games. Baylor was able to get the win over Oklahoma State 41-34, and as we mentioned, other games last week, Louisville 20-17 over Rutgers, Northern Illinois 44-37 over Kent State, and that put them in a BCS game. So a MAC team has clinched a BCS berth, and it will be in the Orange Bowl, in the Discover Orange Bowl, where Northern Illinois will play Florida State. And I want to ask you, Professor, you've been a longtime defender of the BCS and the system, but talk about this matchup and the rule that allows us to have Northern Illinois instead of an Oklahoma, a Georgia, an LSU. Talk about that for a minute.
Well, first of all, I think the BCS system has produced the kind of interest. It has produced the kind of interest and the kind of games that we have. Now, there are flaws in it, and I think the biggest flaw, there's two. I'm gonna name two. First of all, the first flaw that the BCS has is the fact that a few years ago, they will be, the BCS was threatened with lawsuits and threatened about this, and they had to include some of the other automatic qualifiers in the game, and so because of that, they gave in and came up with this formula, which was going to allow a team to get in if they did this and if they did that and if they wasn't up to a certain level, and that's what's produced it. And I think that's the problem. And the second problem with the BCS overall, and this has to do with conferences, though. It's more conference administrators. There are just far, far, far too many tie-ins with bowls. Yep. Everybody's afraid they're not going to get a team and are not going to get access to a team. And so, consequently, with all these tie-ins, we really miss out on having good matchups and bowl games. Some good matchups happen, but it's almost perchance that they do.
No question. Very good point. Let's now transition to another thing, and I brought this up last week that we would be talking about it. And with all of the wins and losses, there have been some shakeup in the coaching scene, and I want to talk about the SEC particularly. You have openings at Tennessee, at Arkansas, at Auburn, and the one at Kentucky has now been filled by former Florida State defensive coordinator Mark Stoops, who is also the brother of Bob Stoops. So not asking for any inside information, because there is none. Everybody is reporting rumors, and nobody really knows anything. But talk about these three openings, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Auburn, and the kind of coaches they need to hire, and maybe mention some names that would be good fits at those schools.
Well, I think that these schools These are three very high profile institutions with strong football programs. And I think they need to look in terms of looking for high quality coaches. I don't think that either of these programs can afford just to take a chance on somebody that might be good. I mean, they can if they want to, and the odds of them being successful are not very good. Because, you know, a guy can be great. Let's just say he's a great offensive coordinator. That doesn't mean that he can run one of these high-profile programs, because it takes somebody who's got a lot of skill, a lot of ability. And if I might just use one example, Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is not at the level of Arkansas, Auburn, or Tennessee. But last year, Ole Miss made a hire. And they hired a guy who had only coached briefly in college. He was at Arkansas State. And had real good success there, but for the hire that they made was not just a shot in the dark. He was a guy who had been a high school coach in Mississippi, and had won several state championships. He'd run programs that were really good. As a matter of fact, it may be sound odd, but while he was winning state championships in football, he also coached the girls' basketball team, and I think he won three state championships in girls basketball. So then he gets a chance to coach in the in a small school at Arkansas State. And what he did, he had success. So this guy was showing he knew how to run a program. I don't think they took as bigger of a program a risk when they hired Hugh Freeze as just hiring somebody out of one of these small schools or a coordinator.
Well, talk about the names that have been mentioned out there. You've heard Gus Malzahn, perhaps in the mix for the Arkansas or Auburn job. You've heard rumors about Gary Patterson, the head coach of TCU, Jimbo Fisher, the head coach of Florida State, if perhaps he wasn't content in Tallahassee. You've also heard the name of Kirby Smart, the defensive coordinator at Alabama, if he would be interested in taking some of these jobs, or one of these jobs. I guess he wouldn't take more than one. What do you say about those names? Do you have any more names that might be out there?
Well, I think that Gary Patterson is one. That's the kind of coach you should be going after.
Why is that?
To be going after, because he has a proven track record. He's won, and he's played in high pressure games. He's been there, done that kind of thing. And I think he would be the one that stands out in that group that you just named. Maybe Jimbo Fisher would be next. I'm not sure about Gus Malzahn or Kirby Smart.
What about Bobby Petrino?
Well, he's got a lot of baggage. We know he's a really good football player, and whether or not he can pass the smell test or not, that's what I don't know. And that part needs to be dealt with, not just by somebody like myself, because I don't know all the details. I know there's a lot of questions.
Sure.
But that's where the administrator, the president, those kind of people need to really look into all the situations with him, and because there's no question about him being able to run a high, big-time college football program. But he's also the face of your school. He's the ambassador for your school. So those things have to be considered.
You're an administrator, and you're at the school of an equal caliber of Auburn, Arkansas, or Tennessee, and I think we can agree that all three of those are highly esteemed programs in college football. Who would you hire, knowing who's out there and knowing who's relatively on the market, and you can include Jimbo Fisher in that? Who would you hire?
Well, if I were making the decision, I'm going to give you a name, and I'm not meaning that this particular name is the one I would go for, but this is the route I would go. I would go for somebody like Bob Stoops. In other words, I wouldn't just look to see who's available. I would look to see who would be the kind of person I want, and that's who I would try to get. I'd try to get someone who would fit the criteria that I had, not someone just because he's available.
very interesting. Very interesting conversation. I think this week will prove to be conclusive for some of these some of these vacancies, and I think you'll probably see the Auburn job filled. More than likely, you'll see the I don't know what's taking so long on the Arkansas job, unless there's somebody out there that they were waiting. We saw the Les Miles deal last week. I'm really not sure why, after so many months of knowing John L. Smith will not be the future, they haven't gotten a better coach in line already. And then Tennessee, I think Tennessee is a program that can be revived, and Derek Dooley had a modicum of success, but not very much, and that's why he was fired. But we've seen it before with the Fulmer and even Lane Kiffin the year he was there. You can win at Tennessee. And then, of course, Auburn needs someone right now to come and compete with Nick Saban, because it is a one-sided affair in the state of Alabama at the moment. Great stuff, Colin. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say this. What I was saying, using Bob Stoops as an example, I wasn't necessarily meaning him as a person. I'm just saying somebody who is solid, at a good school, who are having success, who are happy where they are, that kind of thing. Because I think I would rather go after someone who is well-established than just someone who's looking for a better situation. Now, take Derek Dooley for an example. I think Tennessee did well in taking a chance with him. And he had a lot of difficulties. A lot of things didn't go well for him at Tennessee. And I think he probably did a lot better job of getting that program on a more solid footing than what might meet the eye. But here was a guy who had the kind of qualities that, had he been successful on the football field, he was the kind of guy that could run the program and had a broad base of knowledge about a lot of things, not just football, but administrative wise.
Yep, you're right, absolutely. And I think he will be somewhere in athletics in years to come. And by the way, also news coming out today, Joker Phillips, the former head coach of Kentucky, hired as the wide receivers coach and recruiting coordinator for the Florida Gators. So an interesting hire there. We'll see if Coach Phillips can have an impact for Will Muschamp's program, which seems to be on the upswing in Gainesville. Great stuff, college football professor. Always fun to chat.
All right. It's great. We look forward to some really good games. Yep. And the Kansas State Oregon game is talking about the BCS. Now, that's something that really produced quite well.
Well, we're going to talk about it next week. We're going to have a bowl preview show, and we'll outline all those bowls. I have a feeling Kansas State and Oregon will be right up there toward the top. But a great show as always. We'll be back later in the week with more. Keep it here at BuntSports.com.